is settled forever in heaven. Jesus prayed, "Father, sanctify them in thy truth, for thy word is truth." Amazing statements in the Word of God about the inspiration, authority, infallibility, and the transforming power of the Word of God. You know, MACE is a ministry to which we actually do not need much introduction, because it is purely an assembly ministry going on all over the world. In all the mission fields where I have gone, I have seen the power of God's word through MA's ministry, and many of you have seen it. When I was growing up in India in my boyhood, I remember the missionary, especially the missionary sister, who was in charge of the MA's book room. And then later years, in my understanding, the MA's ministry had suffered a setback, and it was not thriving. But now for the last few years, under the leadership of Brother Jacob and with the cooperation of many others and assemblies, it is really a growing, powerful, thriving, spreading movement at the right time for the right need and for a very decisive need in India. So we are again reminded of it. You know, another thing about a ministry like this is we don't need any validation or verification. You know, who is behind this? What is this? It's all about the Word of God. Nothing more. Nothing personal. No personal project. No personal agenda. No personal publicity. It is 100% about the Word of God. And as assemblies, we are committed to that Word, and let us pray that the Lord may prosper that ministry. I was excited to share these words because the MA's introduction is a very fitting introduction to my sermon this morning. We have been considering the first four verses of the Epistle to the Hebrews, and we had the first part last Sunday, and I'm just concluding it with few more thoughts. You know, the Epistle to the Hebrews, it begins with the statement, God has a word. God who at various times spoke. God has a word. God spoke through the prophets in the past generations to our fathers. And in these last days, finally, conclusively, decisively, he has spoken to us in his Son. Now, it is a very majestically worded, theologically packed introduction. So I would like to again bring out the message for our appreciation and our application in very simple terms. It's not very easy to make it simple. It is such powerful statements. We will again read the first four verses. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke, revealed, another contemporary word, communicated, in times past to the fathers by the prophets. He had a word to our fathers. He was a speaking God. Our God is not a deaf, mute, dumb God like in other religions. He is a God who communicates, who reveals, who speaks. Now, this morning, when we are gathered together, how sad, how tragic it will be that if we don't speak to one another. The joy and the excitement of our fellowship, and we will see that more during our break time. The whole excitement is our talk, our communication. It is an expression of our love, our appreciation, asking the well-being of others. I have a word to you. It may be a word of encouragement, a word of correction. It can be a word of counsel. It can be a word of comfort. It can be just a casual word of how are you. But that communication is something very important. God is a God of communication. God spoke. God has spoken. God continues to speak. And we need to listen to him. Now, another important truth the writer to the Hebrews implies in this, if he is a God of communication, he is also a God of relationship. Because our communication is the proof that we are interested in a relationship. I talk to my wife, to my children, to my brothers and sisters, to my neighbors, because I'm interested to communicate. I'm interested to have a relationship with them. So the writer to the Hebrews is saying that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God of our fathers, is not the God of the dish. That means God has not simply created the universe and he has not abandoned the universe to its destiny. No, he created, he sustains, he provides, he protects, he has a plan, not only for the creation, for every single individual human being upon this planet. And he providentially takes care of everything in the universe. So he communicates. Revelation is the technical theological word. The new word I'm using is God communicates. God reveals. God wants us to know who he is, about his love, his grace, his power, his majesty. Everything encapsulated in his word. And the final revelation has come to us through the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's a God of communication, God of relationship. That is why he communicates. Our communication is the proof of our ardent desire for relationship with others. One more truth. In this communication process, he has taken the initiative. He has spoken. Now, men have spoken all through human history about God, through their ignorance, through their religion, through their, piety, through their philosophy, through their Vedanta, through their scriptures, through their thinking. Man has, said right and wrong things about God. So the writer to the Hebrews is saying that is not the final word. That doesn't count much weight because it can be erroneous. It can be false. There is no guarantee that is true. It is according to the whims and fancies of people, they pile up theories about God. Even today, we see that. But the writer to the Hebrews is saying, he himself has taken the initiative to tell us who he is. So we can listen to him. We don't have to be bothered or confused by the theories. Today in our colleges and universities, in the media, in our culture, when people say theories and their opinions about God and creation, we are all confused, because we try to give much weight to their reasoning, to their so-called false science, because we are not really convinced about the power of God's word. So he said that, she said that, that theory, who cares? God has spoken. God has taken the initiative. Brothers and sisters, that is the conviction we need. And that is why we need more of the Bible. We need more meditation, more study, more understanding. God of revelation, God of communication, God of initiative, God of relationship. He has spoken because he wanted our fathers to know his plan, his mission, his will, and his purpose. And in these last days, one more time. This is it. No more revelation. No more truth. No more communication. It has been, the curtain has fallen. Finally, decisively, completely, the revelation has come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing truth. Now, as I reminded you last week, if you study more about the condition of the readers of this epistle, you know, they were persecuted, they were Jewish Christians, isolated, and all their property, their privileges, everything was taken off from them, you know, and they do not have any good prospects for their future because they have identified with Christianity. So some of them are debating whether we should go back to the old religion so that we can have more material prosperity, material recognition, better things in the world. So the writer is saying, wait a minute, God has a word for you. And I want you to listen to that word. In that word, everything is better. Everything is greater. Everything is superior. Everything is so wonderful. You know, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is greater and superior than everyone and everything in Judaism. So he uses his key word, better, 13 times. Now, God speaks and God has revealed his will, his plan and purpose. Now, after the word ministry, this is a very mixed group with various kind of intellectual capacities. It's probably easy to give a theological lecture from this passage because it is such a deep, theology. But to transfer that into our life situation, we need to be very careful to understand the passion and the ethos and the spirit behind these writings. It is written to a group of people in suffering. But he was not giving them just a motivational talk or 1, 2, 3, 4 steps, how to be successful in life, how to have a wonderful marriage. No, he is simply drawing their attention to the word, to the Lord, and to his majesty, and to his superiority. You know, after the word ministry, Brother Johnson will be teaching us about marriage. Something very, very practical, based upon the truth of God's word. But if you look at Hebrews chapter 13, the writer, after portraying the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ and this wonderful theology of the position, power, preeminence, superiority, and the priesthood of Jesus Christ, in chapter 13, he tells something about marriage. He said something about money, something about covetousness, something about visiting people in prison, something about leaders, something about following good spiritual leaders, being submissive to leaders, about the danger of covetousness. Why does he say that in this epistle? Because these are the various areas, various struggles of our life where we may fail as Christians. So how will you stand strong in these areas? Not on the 1, 2, 3 principles, but when you accept and submit your life to the authority and preeminence of Lordship of Christ, then that will keep you away from covetousness, from materialism, give you a wonderful, happy married life. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. You will be able to trust in him and commit your life to him. So it is not a motivational talk. It is a motivational talk based on the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So chapter 13, you know, and it is completely practical, simple exhortation, but it is all based upon looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, God spoke in time past to our fathers and prophets, in these last days has spoken to us by his Son. I want to repeat that because this is something very important again. I brought that to our attention. There is no article before the sun. It is not the sun. It is not his sun. It is not nothing. It is simply sun. He has spoken to us in sun. The difference is the previous revelations were through messengers, through representatives, through men, through spokespersons, through servants, you know, through God's servants. But now I have given you the superior final revelation from my own family through my son. So prophetic revelation, even though it is true and wonderful, it has come through representatives, men, servants, my ambassadors. I authorize them. But what is the difference here? It is son revelation. It comes from the family. Most intimate. You know, most powerful, most relevant, and the most important truth spoken to us by his son. Then he goes on to give us the sevenfold perfection of the son. Who is the son? Then he gets into his theme of the superiority of the son. Now, again, it is such a powerful, majestically worded, very ornate Greek complex sentences. But let us see the sevenfold glories of the son. Why is the son revelation superior? Why is he so great? Because of these seven features of the son. Seven, number seven. Number of completion, number of perfection. The son revelation is the highest God can give. The reason is the greatness of the son. So we read in the second part of verse 2, whom he has appointed heir of all things. The son is the heir of all things. That means everything the father has belongs to the son. All the nations, in Psalm 2, there is a verse that, ask of me, I will give you the nations as your inheritance. So all the world nations today will be the inheritance of the son one day when he comes back and rules this world. Today, all what has been created in the universe, it belongs to him. So sonship is rulership, it is his authority, it is his position and power. Everything God has given to our Lord Jesus Christ. So this son is the heir of all things of the Father. And this son has all authority in heaven and on earth. And this son is our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Sustainer, our victorious leader. So, in the midst of your trial, persecution, doubtings, questions, and confusion, continue to trust in him. That is the message. He is superior. He is greater, superior than all the prophets and Moses and Aaron and everyone and everything in Judaism. And then, through whom he made the worlds. So he is not only the creator, he is not only the heir of all things, he is also the creator of the universe. Now the worlds is not the usual word cosmos, the material universe, but it is the word ions, which means that universe of time and space. So it is not simply the material, it is not the matter universe, but everything related to time and space in the universe also is created and controlled by him. So he is the creator of everything, matter, space, and time. And he created you, he created me in his own image for a glorious purpose. And what is the implied message? He can create a new heart in you. He can create a new hope in you. He can create a new ray of hope in your life because you are confused. You are going through trials. You have a very bleak future before you. You are intimidated by the Roman government. You are under persecution. He is the heir. He is the heir. He is the creator. He can create a new heart in your life and give you hope for tomorrow. It also tells us another practical truth, that is, you know, we may be even as believers living in sin, living a miserable life, not having the spiritual excitement and joyful experience of a Christian life. He can change that. He can create a new perspective in your life. He can create a new marriage. He can create a new understanding in your life. He can give you a new attitude. He can break away your addictions. He has spoken. He has a word for you. And that word carries power, authority. It is a transformational word. It is a transformational word. It is a comforting word. It is an authoritative word. So the application, number of different applications. Not only that, he simply created in the past. He can create wonderful things even today in our life. And the third thing, in verse 3, who is being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The third thing, the brightness of his glory, the old translation, effulgence. If you compare translations, you will know how the translators are struggling to match the right word, you know, to match with what the author really intended. So he's the radiance of God's glory. The sun eternally conveys the glory of God in creation, in the hearts of men. Through the sun, the glorious light of God illuminates truth in our hearts and minds and takes away the darkness of sin. So the glory of God on the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of God in the church, the glory of God in the Word, we are able to see that through the ministry of the Son, mediated through the Holy Spirit. You know, when God revealed his word, that word was inspired and revealed. And the writers inscripturated, wrote it down. Today, no word is given to anyone. No prophets, no apostles, no fresh word. Because the curtain has fallen. He has spoken once and for all. That's it. No further word will be given. No further revelation will be given. No further revelation will be given. Then what will be given today? More light, more illumination, more enlightenment, more understanding. That is why these three keywords are important for everyone who takes the Bible seriously. Revelation is God's communication of truth. Inspiration is recording it without error. We don't have these two things today. Revelation came to apostles and prophets, the sacred writers, not to us. No more revelation. Sometimes even from our pulpit people say, I was meditating this morning, what shall I speak? Then a revelation came to me. Sorry, no revelation has come to you. It will not come. You know, I'm not trying to pick on anyone. I'm saying that is theologically, doctrinally, that is a wrong thing. People innocently say that, you know, and we don't have to excommunicate them for that. But we need a right understanding. No revelation, no inspiration, whatever, you know. You know, I have written books, and it is not infallible. It is not inspired. It is not the direct revelation of God. Then what do I have when I speak, when you speak? Why it is important? God gives us enlightenment, illumination, right understanding of the revealed and inspired word through the illumination of the Spirit, it comes to our life, corrects us and ministers to us. This is a major difference we must know. So when we pray, when we prepare, when we try to give a message, we should be thinking, praying, not for revelation, not for inspiration, but for illumination, more light, more understanding, that without mistake, in the right way, the intent of the author. Why did the writer write this? Why did the Holy Spirit put these words there? Lord, give me more understanding of that, so that I may be able to divide it rightly. So the glory of God illuminates God's people today, their life path today, in their problems, that light and the glory. It was there as a shade and a protection to the people of Israel in the wilderness wandering. The Shekinah glory was there in the tabernacle and in the temple. And in the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples had a glimpse of that glory. And our God is a glorious God. God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. That was Stephen's message. And today we have seen the glory of God in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Redeemer. And on our daily path, he sheds the light of his glory. You know, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way, the hymn writer wrote. Now, which is the fourth important thing, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, express image, he is the impress of his being. He is not a cheap reproduction. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a cheap reproduction of the original. He is not a cheap knockout deity. All the fullness of God richly dwells in him. All the richness, all the fullness of God the Father richly dwells in him. Now the writer is calling the attention of the readers that he is your Savior. He is greater than Moses. He is greater than Aaron. He is greater than your temple, greater than your sanctuary, greater than all your sacrifice. Look at him. Who is like him? So his word has come to you. You can trust in him. How can you walk away from such a son, Savior, such a son, Savior, priest, king? How can you walk away? The next important truth, image of the his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. He is the sustainer of the universe. He upholds everything. Upholds means not only that he preserves and sustains and maintains, but he is absolutely in control of every detail of this universe. Now, the Greek philosophers in the Greek religions, in mythology, they had some idea that, you know, whether God is personal. To them, it was more of an impersonal idea. You know, some people had some idea of, you know, a kind of a semi-personal, impersonal, not clear. That was the story in all ancient religions. But you might have seen in the Greek mythology, and you also might have seen the picture of the Greek god Atlas holding the globe on his back under terrible strain. He is kind of sweating. He is trying to preserve and to protect, and he is trying to hold the universe on his back, on his shoulder. This is not like that. No pressure, no sweating. He is the creator. He is the heir of all things. He is the upholder. He sustains, he controls. He is not under stress. He has no anxiety, not sweating. Everything in him perfectly hold together. He controls everything and moves everything to its desired end. And the steps of his people also are ordered by him. That is the truth, because he is the upholder, he is the sustainer, he controls and he moves everything and plans everything according to his will and plan. And when we commit our life to him, it will be safe in him. Then the sixth thing, upholding all things by the word of his power, all things related to universe and power so far, but now his involvement in our spiritual matters, spiritual life, when he had by himself purged our sins, something which others, nobody could not do. The religions could not do, the sacrifices could not do, it could temporarily fix the problem, but there was no permanent solution. In any sacrifice offered, it was offered over and over. It continued and repeatedly continued. The work was never completed. But he had made purification once and for all for our sins. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. After that is his work on the cross. Then what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, even in our earlier studies in the book of Hebrews by Brother Sam and others, in our different ministries related to books, this book, we have seen that in the tabernacle, there were many objects and utensils, beautiful decorations, glorious lights and lamps, but no bench and no chair. The high priest always was standing. Israel could never envision a priest who will sit, because if you have to sit, you have to complete your work. You have to be completely satisfied. It is a place of completion. It is a place of honor. It is a place of privilege. It is a place of power. It is a place of authority. So, our Lord Jesus Christ, he sat at the right hand of the majesty on high. So, he is the reigning king. He is the exalted, enthroned king today. And look at another important truth here. The author is also reminding the readers about the threefold glorious offices of Christ. He is the prophet through whom God has spoken. He is the priest who has purified your sin. And he is the king who sits enthroned at the right hand of the majesty on high. Your Savior, who has spoken, through whom God has spoken to you, is prophet, priest, and king. Do you have anyone like that in Judaism? No. So, Jesus Christ, you can completely depend on him. How can you turn away your life? How can you turn your back on such a final word? There will not be another word from God. So cling on to him, love him, serve him. In chapter 12, I mentioned that last week, the Lord will shake the heavens and the earth one more time, and your temple, this document was written probably before AD 70. So everything in your religion will be shaken, probably a prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Your temple, your big hope, the great edifice of your religion, the splendor and glory, it will be shaken. But we are waiting for a kingdom that will not be shaken. We are waiting for a kingdom that will not be shaken. We will receive an unshakable kingdom. So even though your step is little bit falling and faltering, you are doubting, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, let us run the race. You will make it. You will be blessed. You will share in his victory. That is the message he wanted to give through this majestic introduction. May that be a great encouragement and a blessing to us as we also run the race. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank thee for these very profound words which has come to us from the pen of the writer to the Hebrews. Pray that it may be a word of blessing, a word of motivation, encouragement for each one of us to run our race with confidence and with assurance and with commitment under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Thou knowest our needs, our problems, our difficulties, the trials and the challenges of our life and our ministry, and all the various circumstances through which we go through every day. Father, we pray that God has spoken these wonderful words may be a great blessing to us, that we may find comfort in your word, in your promises. We thank you for the assurance that it is a better word. Thou hast promised a better country, a better resurrection, a better future, everything better for your people. So help us to be steadfast and help us to be constant in our walk with thee every day of our life. We thank thee for the opportunity to listen to Brother Jacob and about the MA's ministry. Pray that that ministry may continue to abound and be successful in India and also in other parts of the world, that many, many people may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior through the written word of God, and thy people may be enlightened and edified through learning the MA's courses. We thank you for your abundant blessing upon that work in the years past, and we pray that thou may continue to sustain and bless that ministry even in the days to come. Thank you for our time together in the Word. Bless the time of fellowship and the Bible study to follow, as we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.